Councilman, we just need to get a little more clarification exactly identifying what you're looking at in the administration way. So, Solicitor pointed out there's the fund that you mentioned about the schools, and there's also a line item, $1 million budgeted for school capital. I believe the title of it has $1 million, so just want to get the numbers correct.
It's actually probable that it should go there, because I'm guessing that one remains the current state of our funds. So then we want to add some to that. So if I think of it,
okay, but the data from the administration, what would you like to speak first on?
So you want to tackle this kind of that? But just, I have a fundamentally generous thing that the mayor wanted to do, which is a 4% increase in the school department. On part of the state aid, remember last year about this time, coming from Lazar, and then the 2 or 5 years ago, resolution to 5 years ago, tax. I did it. I have to do it anyways, it's state requirements. I can't remember anything. And our assumptions on operating, part of these things, Councilman Lazar did this, so we just want to look at financing for the new high schools. Let me tell you, school budget is 52% of the whole city budget. If the school budget increases 4, the rest is a 4.8% of the rest, so we end up 4.2%. And you continue on over 5 years, there's no money to go to new high schools. You have a population, we've seen the data, you're talking over the last 5 years, averaging 1% of clients in students that are here. And that should be factored in your costs. It has to be what the system is going to work. So that's my point. Long-term, increasing the base. And this is not, I don't focus on the use of our budget proposal here, which is a one-time cost. But what's being proposed here is not a one-time cost. This is a conjunction. So those are my concerns, but this is really, I just assist the mayor in preparing the budget. This is, again, this is.
May I propose to you?
Councilman, I really admire your education, and it was me since I shared that path. And if it's the council's question, it needs an additional amount of funds to work in that. I just want to tell you what will happen. Probably it's on capital utilities this year, a lot of them are not going to get completed this year. The money that will be reserved is in case we can get to complete these projects, because costs keep coming up. We have to look to get rid of some of the projects, and some of them are very difficult. That's the kind of things we have to come from. We have, the skating rink, we've gone forward with that, which spent tens of thousands of dollars. We decided to take a look at that, and the budget we can move $5 million, which we are ability to do that, we can push it. There's not a lot of unessential things on here. I have to look at electric projects, and I have to reduce that. I have to redo it. We don't have much flexibility. A lot of the ARPA money we held in reserve, some of these things we need to retain like an action funds. We have to collect the money from that and from ARPA. There's no matching money requirement on the White House. We have $750,000 grant. I would say just reserve the outside of the $1 million. That's why we can't use it. But as I said, it's a very complex budget. I guess it's an important problem to move forward.
So I need a point of information from Peter then, because I'm hearing things that seemingly conflict. I don't know, I just not understanding it correctly.
Sorry, I was looking for some data.
So I'm confused as far as I was told that the 1.8 remaining funds for RRR are not numbered in any way.
That's correct. That's correct.
All right, so even.
I can have it one by you, like 1.8. Or also rated at X question, so.
All right, so the area is 1.8, it's gonna be potentially used for if there's cost overruns or not, that makes perfect sense.
That's what I have to say.
So I don't feel that my motion is any less warranted, including the source of the funds, because I definitely do not wish to add to the MOE. I do not wish to increase taxes more than they're already. And because that money is set aside for what it is, from my perspective, ideally, because cost overruns, and we're gonna get cost overruns, and we're going to get it all together. But taking only 370 for 1.8 would be 20 for contingencies. And if it's not 20, then 1.8 wasn't close to enough anyway. So I don't really feel that that's a negative from that perspective. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I totally disagree with taking money from the ARPA funds for the schools. I think each one of you should think about your decisions in each of your wards. Any one of us would have an emergency. That one is put aside for emergencies or anything we might need. Is it too loud?
Yeah, you're really loud. Sounds really loud, actually.
But I think each one of us have to think about it. I know we're going to all the schools, yes. The schools have to watch when we come ahead of time. You each got to think about what you need with your constituents in your wards. Because there is no need of us to take money from the ARPA fund that's put aside for any one of those cases. That 3,370 or whatever could be the one that you need.
Thank you, Mr. President. I totally concur with Councilwoman Travis. And I also concur with Mr. Schaefer on this item. What concerns me is the fact that we keep talking about increasing salaries, increasing benefits, adding on to the cost of doing business, increasing the cost of government. It's interesting to me that we always have this money available to not only put up our contractual salary increases, but beyond that. We always have the money to take care of out of control overtime costs. I have not heard one comment regarding all the increases that we're talking about to do anything with increasing the exemptions that we have for the seniors, for the veterans, for the disabled veterans. So the whole list is probably 50 or so exemptions. I don't ever remember increasing those exemptions. When is there going to be enough money to do that? Councilman Briggs has a committee that he's formed to address that. And the answer is always the same. If you're going to increase that, you've got to find the money somewhere else. It's time to find the money for something other than runaway costs of government, runaway costs of overtime. And with respect to the school department, the cost of operating the school department has continued to increase year after year after year. We've been listening to the same thing year after year. But what I don't hear is, I don't hear anyone talking about how can we reduce costs, how can we reduce this administration? How can we operate more efficiently? You don't hear that. As a matter of fact, we can't get a straight answer to how many students we have in the school system, which I asked Monday night. How many kids do we have in the school? I'm sorry, Councilman Travis asked the question. And the answer was about 8,700. Well, as you know, I challenged it then, I challenged it every year because every year the numbers are all over the place. Well, the report that I received yesterday from the superintendent of schools is that the student population is 8,005. 700 student difference between round numbers. Multiply that times $23,000 per student is what taxpayers in this city pay. $23,000 per student. That comes up to almost $16 million in difference between 8,700 students and 8,000. There is something seriously wrong with the academic spending that has been going on in the city, not just this year or last year, but for years. And we are not grabbing on to the reins and pulling back on it and saying that it's time to stop working within the means. This is something that you can just take out a loan and pay for and pay for and pay for and do other things. What about the taxpayers? What about our senior citizens who don't have the luxury of COLA increases, don't have the luxury of lifetime free health care, don't get automatic assistance from anyone? What about them? What about our businesses that are upside down because of COVID? What about the fact that we just changed the formulas on how we're going to apply those taxes to the businesses? We've lost how many businesses as a result of COVID? What about that? It's nice to sit back and say, thank you, I deserve this, I want this. We don't want this. We don't want to live in, make our home. We don't want to drive around in the cities. But it doesn't happen. Literally means. So do the senior citizens in this city, and there's a lot of them. So do the veterans, so do the disabled veterans. They have to live within their means. But yet, they're expected to continue to pay the bills for these out of control costs. I will not be supporting anything like this, and I will have further amendments in the back of the day.
Thank you. I'm going to go back to Councilman Zanatti, and I just want to clear up exactly the language on which ones which the Marvin said. So let's go all the way over that text. Councilman, I just wanted to clarify. I know you know that 89000 is a designation which means the intent instead to shift within the capital budget of the unencumbered. From the unencumbered, 370,000 that shifted to the school department's upper line. That is school technology and capital currently proposed at $1 million.
Yes, as long as we're talking about the unencumbered ARPA funds. And to the council's point, and just as a general edification, be aware of one the lack thereof of math and dimensions of these. They do serve the purpose. They help prevent students from falling behind in the first place. You know, a lot of things that draw us kids to districts, their scores when they're actually performing. If they go down, the district is less attractive, and kids go elsewhere. They go up, your district now looks better. Pretty basic stuff. Our math scores went up in no small part because of dimensions. So just imagine what happens if you take them away. And this is like kind of a direct benefit to the city for them to be. It's not just a throw money at something like called a day, it's something intangible. Yeah, it's no, this gives an effect that has a value to it that benefits us all. Furthermore, when kids fall behind, you have other things to come. they either stay back or they have to get a sort of piece of assistance. Because now they're so far behind, that's a huge problem. And that's a cost of money, not a small amount. And now you're talking about basically remediation at best. So now that kid probably has a chance for the rest of the time in the school system is going to have a harder go of it, and therefore their drain on resources will be larger as well. That's how it works out. So just keep in mind the tangible effects of roles like these interventions. It's not just another person doing their job and calling it a day. No, this matters for our host of items and outcomes, and ultimately money that will be spent elsewhere.
Just a housekeeping item, Councilman Foley, we're at the second of that clarification.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Is there anyone from the school administration to answer questions tonight?
We can invite the superintendent up, but that would be it.
Well,
we're not going to have, you know, we can't open it up to elected officials or other people. So if the superintendent wants to answer questions, we can, but that would be it. And it only needs to be coming in.
As a point of order, we can suspend the rules to allow for other individuals to speak.
Run out there.
Do you have a question in the mic, Trevor?
I'll hold for now. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Councilor Rice.
A few quick items. So first, I would like to specifically thank Councilman Sahapi for doing his due diligence on this. I would also like to thank the superintendent, the school administration, and everyone who worked to prepare this list for us. A total of 12 items accounting for that grand total of 1.4 million dollars. Exactly where those items would go in the event that the city council restored part of all of that funding. And along those lines, I think it's important for members of the public to hear that the school department did not have to do this. They did not have to prepare this specific list. The charter, their obligation is basically to present their proposed budget, ask us for money, and then do with it what they will. However, that is not the best practice of good government. In recent years, we've had much better communication between the city council and the school department than just a few years ago. A few years ago, it almost felt like the city council was playing the game of, okay, where do they hide the money this time? Because we could always seem to find where there was money hidden somewhere or other in the school budget. And lo and behold, at the end of every single fiscal year, we would have someone come up to us from the school department and say, great news. Look at the wonderful, huge surplus we ran through last year, as if it was an act of genius. No, it wasn't. It was a matter of there was money being hidden in that budget, and that's why we kept seeing those kinds of surpluses. Now, in great contrast to before, what we're seeing is the school committee and school department showing a great deal of transparency here with us and working with us as partners. And I would also like to make sure to specifically thank the administration as well for putting in a great amount of money into its proposed budget. We've seen administrations in the past that have just attempted to level fund schools. And then when the city council tried to sort things out, that is absolutely not what happened this year. We are seeing a lot of effort from the mayor and the administration as well to come up with these millions of dollars to fund these essential programs at the school department. And now, we're having a good, transparent discussion of these very specific items that the school committee and school department have told us that if they add this money into the budget, then this is what they are going to do with it. This is, it's good government. It's a far cry from what we were experiencing just a few years ago. I think it's important for us to take a moment to appreciate where we are now compared to where we were before. So, to get to the point more specifically on this particular amendment, I absolutely support this amendment. I think that the school department has been transparent with us on where this money would go. This isn't some sort of threat that we've seen in years prior, where the school department puts up school sports on the chopping block. And we all know in the back of our minds that school sports aren't actually going to be cut. This is just the high priority that's being put on publicly when, in reality, other things can, but there are other ways to get this done. Here, we know, we can have confidence that there aren't other priorities that the school department or school committee cut from the budget and still have these three full-time math interventionists who are at great value and services that go a long way towards improving the education of so many students, improving test scores. And as Councilman Snapper pointed out, once students start to fall behind in math, it is so hard for them to catch up. So I'm absolutely going to be supporting Councilman Snapper's amendment. I'm not pretending that this is an easy decision based on us having such limited funds and us looking at over a $700 drawdown from the fund balance. But I think that having these three full-time non-interventionists is a huge priority. Thank you for your time.
Any additional questions or comments from members of the council? I think I take this one. Yeah, Councilor Knott.
I know this person very briefly. Though I enjoy and I appreciate what Councilman Sinatra has proposed, I cannot support this amendment for the simple fact of I think that the communication, one of the council works that the communication and transparency is an area of mess between the administration of council and the school department. I will say this as a math teacher, I feel I have to say this. If a district, and this is generalization, this is not an accusation to the superintendent of the department, but if we know that we have something, if we're saying we're cleaning this money to math interventionists, knowing that that is the most rated, scanned subject, that is the most scrutinized subject in our schools, why on earth would that be the first ones that we consider at the time if we don't get this money? So I'm very comfortable with the amount of communication between the administration and departments, and I respect the reason to say I cannot support this amendment.
Any additional questions from the first round of that? Councilman Smith.
So just to add on to what Councilman Craig said, for those who don't know, there's something called the CDB that the school committee has. Our school department has had for that budget. But we saw basically the overview of the CDB as the line of the single department, just similar to our sector, I guess probably more detailed. For those who remember back in the day, I used to have to fight to look at the CDB and to get it distributed to the Act of Congress. This school department and is the for public consumption pretty much from the get-go as part of the budget process. Oh my God. Prior to the high-ball, there are young kids' ball history, you are 9, go to 10. So it is definitely a new era when it comes to transparency.
for sure we're moving in the right direction.
Member of the Coastal. I just read Mr. Ricks and Councilman said that we want to have a council break. They're absolutely correct. This is not a padded budget. We don't have a school big, intimate knowledge of school big budgets. And they came to me with open eyes, it's a lot of dialogue. I would love to give them a lot more than they could. They have to strike a balance between both sides of the government. And the opportunities, like I said, we have many instances of, we have been doing it a long time. We have probably once in a lifetime opportunity to get ahead of that. As I said, it's a great account. I try to strike a balance between the school market is not deserved to be. Accused of having had a budget, they got really good enough. We had a lot of discussion about it. They have been very open on this, and thanks for having this. Councilman's not making their roles for everything.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments on the amendments? Okay, my comments are, again, I thank Councilman Snappy on his great work on this and in doing that. However, I remember before we went to the Chairman of Finance and then some other colleagues that I spoke, moving these armor funds forward to that. I do also think it's important that Mr. Howe said that the 370, if they don't get this additional, doesn't even have to cut those three positions. And I'm sure we all work to find a way within that budget. Glad someone else heard that. I thought it was just like it. So with that said, the clerk will call the roll on the Snappy Amendment, favorable action, and yes vote is for the amendment, no vote against the amendment. No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattison?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. Travis?
No.
Or yes, 5-0 fail.
The amendment fails. Councilman Snappy? So I want to add in the revenue section, line item 47-949, page 61, revenue of $15,000. That is the senior center fees, based on my understanding is that that should be there, it's expected to be received, so you should add it. And then I have a motion, something related to this. Relationship, one thing at a time.
Okay, Councilman, can you identify that line item one more time for us?
Absolutely. The line item 47-949, senior center fees, to put in $15,000 revenue and sign up expense. That's on page 61. Yes.
If we get someone from the administration to address that. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Most of the smaller departmental revenues, we depend upon what the department sends us. And from my looking at it, it's an oversight on their part. So basically, one of us should get in our revenues by $15,000. It's not material, I don't think there's a reason for it. Absolutely, they're in charge of revenues. We're going to end up more than like goes into the general fund. We're going to end up with $3,000 more than what we estimated. I don't really think it's material enough to make a change if it was. And then in 5 that we forgot, it would be excess. To say they're going to continue charging fees for these things. We're going to collect money. We're going to have a little more money than what we estimated in this budget. But I just don't think it needs materiality for the show. That's fine.
So, normally I don't have any intention of
Conservation. I don't technically make this motion unless until we have my request for additional aid to school department favor. That's $15,000 budget, which makes us have a $15,000 free for expenditure, which I'm going to ask to be spent on the school department.
Yeah, so let's get it from the motion is that they have that capacity at that part. What is your motion to get this, I guess?
So my understanding is we're going to come along, so there was that I have to first add the revenue line and then a subsequent motion add the expenditure, but you can do a bit of that.
You have the ability to make a motion that is balanced or in one out of balance, and I would have a feeling that it had to be the ultimate
something for you here.
What I would ask is put the entire whichever motion is in play, explain it in these specific accounts and the amounts that we're looking for, and we need to see if there's a second.
Understood, and I would prefer to go once, so just to reiterate, it would be adding $15,000 per year to line item 47949 on page 641, which is the senior center fees, and then we in turn add to line 89-000, school department, on page 56, we add again $15,000. So this would be a balanced motion in the revenue stream added and the expenditure we should have added of the same number.
Hey, do we have a second to that motion? Second by Councilor Chris. Go ahead, Councilor Sen.
So, in addition to correcting the budget on something that should be there, this has the added bonus of putting somebody towards a school department, even what is there, making a rather large shortfall in additional bonus that was presented. It's also a reminder that the teacher's contract that needs to be negotiated, which will add further shortfall on that level. And I don't see a need to reiterate all my prior arguments over and over here. I know it's everyone's time. So that's the motion.
Okay, Councilor Briggs.
Well, I want to be careful not to express a specific intent here trying to write the school department unnecessarily. I'll just throw out that it's $15,000 could make a material difference. Some items on the school department list at this four items, specifically looking at the lowest cost item number four, a $20,000 request for labor bonds equipment as fair equipment is stated here. Nearly 10 years old. And will pass its useful life. And there's a further explanation here. I'll just read briefly for the public. Quote, if we do not replace this equipment, this will be problematic for our robotics programming and pathway at Atomic. Right now, this feeder program helps the robotics 1, 2, and advanced robotics for competition classes, which it won some awards. If we do not replace this equipment, students will be unable to learn about robotics and related STEM pathways. The course will be more about period interactions since there will be no functional robotics equipment for students to use in class. Quote, so, although $15,000 might not sound like a lot, looking at that one item, that could go a long way towards satisfying that particular need, which could ultimately be saving the city and school department a lot of money if this is making a difference when it comes to those pathways programs. We lose a lot of money by pathways programs luring our students out of boarding schools and into other school systems. This pathways program is bringing students from other school systems into boarding, generating money. So, for those reasons, even though it's quote unquote only $15,000, there's a purpose for this, and I will support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And just for clarification, as you know, any additional funds is not earmarked, it would still be up to the discretion of the office.
Absolutely.
Councilman Snappy, I'd just like to another clarification on these senior center fees are not raising fees on seniors, citizens, revenue, and some stuff that they purchased.
Yeah, so this was discussed briefly on Monday night, where there's a standing menu every year, and in fact, you can see the prior years were more often than 950,000 or more, so actually not next year, they were projected. So this is standard, they charge, and I believe the explanation was charged, and then to make sure that the class that they pay for, something along those lines, we're not proposing any fees that would otherwise not be due. This is happening regardless of whether or not we put it in the budget here. And what I was going to add was that it's important to note that as far as the items on this list, because while it is not incorrect to say, well, we don't have to have the interventionist versus a contract, it's important to note that it doesn't take a bad position to know that some of the things on this list. So, given that it forces someone to come down, I'm going to do so. But, reviewing some of these, for instance, 2FDA school and safety assistant officers for high schools, this is something they currently have. For those who don't know, this is very important and critical for the safety and operation of school. And I can say that, but it's not when those positions don't exist. Sometimes, when they have a constant nightmare. We can ask administration, teachers, students. It's awful when it comes to dealing with the bathrooms, the behavior of kids, the teacher. This is not enough for them. Frankly, it's not their job. There's no reason teachers should have to be controlling the bathrooms. So to take those away from the high school would be, as you can imagine, problematic. Interventionists, it's going to be able to get sort of set, see what their supplies, they speak for themselves. The new robotics equipment. Again, so now it's 10 women, and I was surprised when they took robotics, and I wasn't excited, and I thought we need to take something called robotics. Obviously excited, it seems like a no-brainer. And a double checker thing, which I thought was a teacher, is amazing. The equipment looks sucked. Couldn't really do much of anything, and it ended up being boring from that perspective. And if you can think you could tell, while my teacher's really good, it's kind of still a waste. A 14-year-old can tell that it's not a good sign. The next edition is the athletic trainers for Interscholastic Sports. So this is he actually came from one of the neighbors came and spoke at the budget meetings. And for those who don't know, at least and might be more obvious about the fact when we went to school, this environment, you got a concussion, probably a concussion, nobody knew, you didn't know, nobody told you about it, you kept playing it. I mean, nobody, I know I got it. I got at least a couple of whacks in the head, and at least one I should not have played, but nobody knew that. These people are pretty important. I've met individuals whose kids' lives were ruined because they played sports, they got us, nobody knew better than it. They happen to be one of the unlucky ones. This all also getting injured all the time. Doesn't usually lead to something. For some of us, it ruins their lives when it's this kind of injury. And to prevent that is so critical, not to mention preventing injuries in general, more attractive to families as far as why go to that school system. Oh, that school actually cares about my kid when it comes to sports. It's been put out to us countless times. Often we lose kids to put their shit in sports. They have things we don't need, like scholastic, athletic training, and scholastic sports. Pretty clear cut, that school can say we have it, or it doesn't, for what reason would a parent have to not at that point if their kid is passionate about sports? It's a no-brainer. The FTE custodians speak for themselves, shouldn't have to explain the role of custodians and pivotal to keeping our schools up and running and nothing. They would not be able to function for very long. So that, I don't think it's really a tough call as far as whether or not they need more money. I think it's clear that we can and should add. And I think we have the opportunity to do so. And as noted, this is a balanced motion that takes away from nothing as it stands now.
Thank you. Councilor Madison.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to be able to support this amendment either. I don't think that it's up to the city council to project or assume stimulate revenue for many departments. We have no control on what revenue is going to be generated, how they're going to generate it, what they're going to do to increase that revenue. And I think those line items on those particular matters, I think it's appropriate that they be lined out, because that would be no more than a projection and anticipation, yes, of what the revenue would be. And the other reason that I'm not going to be supporting this, actually a couple of reasons, Council President, you mentioned one that I know you've mentioned numerous times over the years, is once we have money, we have no control over the school department. What I find particularly troubling with this is what is being proposed is to add a $15,000 assumed or speculative revenue line item to the budget that doesn't exist now. You have no idea what that revenue is going to be. And then to switch it over into the school department, disagree with adding revenue monies that you have no clue what they're going to be to increase another line item such as 89-000. And to me, that's a mistake, but we don't have anything to do with revenue. That will be at the end of the year based upon the performance of that individual. Kind of like how it works in private business sector. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from individuals or agencies? Councilman Sinatra?
I was just going to point out, we do have an idea of what the amount would be based on the prior years and what's going to follow.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded. So again, this would be a $15,000 transfer. From the senior center fees to the capital budget for the school, general schools. Okay, that is the motion. A yes vote is to support the SNAP amendment, and no vote is against the amendment. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No. Yes. Yes.
No.
Thank you. The amendment passes. Councilman Sinatra.
So I have a point of inquiry for Peter. He had said, and I don't know if this is my interpretation or if he actually meant to imply this, that that line item was an example of an inconsequential revenue source, and you know, the new amount was there. Now it seemed to suggest to me that there were other ones that might also not be in the budget, so I'd like to ask for confirmation whether or not there are, in fact, other revenue sources that are not in the budget. Because if so, potentially we're not making enough motion.
That's the only one that was caught in the air is my name that I identified. I told you we were aggressive this year because we were not aggressive enough the last 2 years as the department of reason we had significant surplus. I'm going to tell you that the revenue is going to come in, and you're going to see an audit report 18 months from now. But it was exactly as we estimated. That was clearly an error either by the department or us in terms of not. I know we did not identify the public hearings, and I know no other oversights that we had in the budget.
I appreciate the clarification that you gave.
So that's it for me at the moment, then. Okay, any other amendments that would like to be made at this time for members of the council? Council, make it far. Thank you, Council President. I'll make a simple one. This is budget code
code 35111, firefighter code 2 overtime. Given the increase in staffing, the CARES grants, the additional personnel coming on, and the testimony we've heard here previously, that class and that members should reduce overtime overall. I am proposing to reduce line 35111 by 12.5%, and to credit the account 100-03690 fund drawdown by the same amount. The dollar amount is $553,000 and $553,991.
It's a motion to be a second round of discussion, second by Councilor Hodgson. Go ahead, Councilor.
As I briefly introduced, you know, we've heard the last couple budgets that the increase in staffing should help mitigate overtime. The budget does not like that. The overtime stays pretty in line with where we're projected for this fiscal year. I'm not proposing to reallocate spending those monies, so if we're going to find they're there. However, I do not support leaving that account fully funded, given that we've been provided some guidance that should reduce based on the other investments we've made. So that's
fine. Questions or comments? Questions or comments from members of the council? Councilor Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur with the intent of Councilman Jeff Hobbs, and those of the combined amendments, where we differ is on the amount. So, historically, regardless of how many firefighters we increase in the fire department, regardless of giving loads beyond the required capacity, they never control the overtime. The overtime has just been a one-way item in the fire department for years. Before I got on council, I remember conversations between council members and that if we give away floaters and we do this, we will hold the overtime. The answer is yes, and the result is no. There are going to be the largest complement of firefighters, I think, in the history of the city, certainly in my lifetime, to 236. We talk about bringing in rescues. You all know I've been supportive of the questions. But also keep in mind, it was testified to the other evening, that as we add rescues, we add more lives because of the remaining. The budget sits with the monies from Senator Reed to fund 20 of the additional firefighters. But like any floaters, once that money is gone, the taxpayers move the bill. And this bill just continues to climb and climb and climb. Continues. I would, and I can either do an amendment to this or be my own man. Right now, I would propose, based upon the monies that we're talking about, and based upon more firefighters than we've ever had in the fire department, to my knowledge, to reduce the line item of 35111 by by $2.3 million. Use $1 million of that money to reduce the drawdown on rainy day account.
Council member, just in the state where Councilman Getwell, we have one individual, so if you want to, just so we don't get lost here, so we're just going to stick with the amendment that was moved and seconded. And then, you know, I'm trying to make additional amendments as well. Just want to keep it all the same. Is there, someone from the administration that would like to speak on this proposed amendment?
Yes, Council President, I would recommend this, this is not a fire department, as far as chief. I want to know if I have a little bit of the city grant, which is only those 20. We're not obligated to keep, we actually sent an order, it's not, we get, kind of contract. You know, just the ending that the, it's a traditional, that's been here, Tony, you show up and come down board, can't use this plan for time, we can't do that. Also, we're not obligated to pay them overtime, that they're being on trucks, that's not part of our argument. So we have 20 people coming on, but that's not going to use the bus for, not obligated to keep the council grant until. We won't be hiring people the next few years out of this class. Also, we, the first time in 5 years, last year we hired a firefighter. We had a problem for 10 minutes, because then we got 90 times in 2 months. There's another problem, it's called the pit, for me, it's accepted for about firefighters that aren't what they are yet, and so I don't transfer. That's happening in the season now. So our company hiring this group is going to go up and down, it's probably going to go down in the next few years. So, we put the overtime budget back in the, into the, fund balance, to take an act of this council, to put that money back into the, budget to be used for overtime. And you could get a chance to look forward, and we're already like, we wouldn't have shifts in our budgets. Just public safety is not there. As well as having any issues.
Thank you, Mayor. Any questions or comments from members of the council? I'll comment. I think one of my first years on the council, would have been like this, to cut the overtime for the fire budget and to move it into the general fund or maybe to pay it or something like that, that we may have committed. Unfortunately, the fire department didn't do it anyway. They moved through it because of the things that the mayor was talking about. They had minimum requirements. People retired, people got hurt, and the time went up. I mean, the overtime went on anyways, and it was a lot more than budgeted because the fire chief at the time said, you know, I'll put it in this budget because it's a realistic number. So we got back that number, and then so it looked like it was way over because it wasn't really a budget number that they didn't stick to, unfortunately. And a lot of that is not out of control. Again, minimum annual, all reasons. So that's my concern on this. Is I'd like to have a budget that is, I understand this moving document, and you know, we're never going to know exactly what each line item is going to be. Year, I'd like to have something that is as accurate as close as possible prediction. We know that whether we touch the fire overtime or not, what that number is, they're going to be overtime. So we just want to have that accurate account. And, you know, speaking with the administration, they work with the fire department, they're looking at past history, they're looking at different trends. This was the number that they came in with, and they spoke to the mayor about the fire overtime many times. He has the same frustrations as the rest of us. So that's my concern about this, is that it's a great idea, but is it practical in the end if the fire overtime is going to come one way or the other? So that's my thoughts on that. The council matters are very simple.
Thank you, Mr. President. With all due respect to Commander Cozy, over the years, we've heard it with the same comments that we're going to receive essential personnel, we're receiving grants, but we don't have to keep them. And this goes back to the initiatives. When I sat here with the budget committee and listened to that position, well, that is true. We don't have to keep them. But in reality, we have kept them. Not only have we kept the additional staffing, we've increased it to the highest level it's ever been. And there is no way that I'm going to agree with the argument that having these extra people, like the firefighters, with the proper management of time, won't reduce the overtime. I cannot grasp how we can have all of these additional people and continue to have higher and higher overtime. I'm fairly familiar with salaries and overtime. Certainly not to the degree of the size of this budget, but in my own world, I'm fully understand and fully cognizant of how that works. So, and the councilman gets a motion while I think the amount should be increased. I'm not supporting his amendment and I'm not supporting using it to reduce the drawdown on the fund. Somebody in the mind, management has to take control.
Yes, I just wanted to be clear. I have no intention to increase the amount of power in 3 years. It's going to be up to 2.8, we'll be back down to 2.4 plus the floaters. That's why I would not accept the grant until I was able to negotiate that with the union. And the signed agreement states that I'm not keeping them replaced them. Retraction, fire risk retraction, and that's where those fires will go, fire risk will go at the end of 3 years. And also, council is a little off topic, I'm aware of it, but Director Carucci fixed the sound system. He said, if you take a 5 minute recess, if you get a complaint from people about the audio, you need to.
Okay, we'll finish this and then I'll have that just in order to say that. Let's finish this and then we can take a break. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. President.
I say I'm just so proud of opposed this amendment for the simple fact. I'm going to generalize some statements or I'm going to generalize some of the comments and some of the tokens that have been said. Though I agree with what Councilman Lattice has said, he's absolutely right about the history of the fire department. There was a lot of overtime. I remember sitting in this chamber. We were told, oh, if you put the overtime budget, we're going to fire firefighters and send them a shockwave through the hall. And then it was clarified by the then administration, where it was on our first budget hearing, if you remember, Mr. President, it was clarified that no, then it would be fired, it would be through attrition plus. And then we went below our complement. And it seems like we always seem to go below our complement. And I know this discussion happened 2 years ago after COVID, and there were strong regulations in that department. What, as many departments and many professions, was required to still show up and work and walk into areas while the rest of the country was shut down, and yet the overtime went up, and because you had people covering and covering for people who tested positive for COVID. This is something where I feel I have to say, because I know for a fact that the Chief McMichael goes over that budget all the time. As the finance chair, we sit down quite a bit. He goes over that budget quite often. And I can also say Chief Ubbenhauer is meticulous about the numbers. And there are things like in education, we talk about unfunded mandates and such that are uncontrollable by the fire department. They cannot be controlled. Personnel retirements, personnel time, personal time, personnel illnesses, the personnel injuries or otherwise. We have to still fill those shifts, put the bodies on the trucks, put the personnel in the rescues. We have to still, they have to still get to where they have to go. And if that means calling back people for mandatory overtime, that's what it is, or offering them overtime, that's what it is. And if you remember, this is present to my colleagues, the firefighters also during COVID, they had mandatory overtime. And that was a little sick, and that wasn't left, that wasn't discussed too much when people criticized that. There were certain members made absorbent amount of money, so they were mandatorily overtime to that, to meet the minimum mandated requirements. So I will, I cannot support this because I do know that Chief McMahon and Chief O'Connor, or I'm sorry, Chief O'Connor will have gone over these numbers again and again. And they are giving their best efforts. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Let me make this quick. I like Councilman Holloway, who might be supporting this amendment. I've had numerous discussions. I'm on the finance committee, and I would call Chief, or I would call that asked before the meetings about the number. And I had a lengthy conversation with the Chief about overtime. I am one of the biggest supporters of the Warwick Fire Department and any fire department for numerous reasons that I already mentioned. But I kept asking, I said, Chief, you can't keep taking a hit. What's going on with the overtime? And he said in the past, I'm not saying in this administration, they were told not to look at actual numbers for overtime. This time he did. He used what was the historical data, sick time, retirements, how many retirements came, planned for, and unplanned for. So to me, this is a realistic number for overtime. For us to not say, well, that's nice, but we think it's going to be less, we are discounting the experts, the people in the field, the teachers in the classroom. We talk about unfunded mandates. That they don't listen to the teachers in the classroom. I'm listening to the chief. And my last point is this, I'm a grandpa daycare for a firefighter. I can't tell you how many times I get a phone call at this time of night saying, Dad, can you pick up the girls and bring them to school? Because I got hurt over. And he doesn't find out till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night that he has to stay at extra shift. He's lucky. He has me and my wife. A lot of firefighters don't have that. And therefore, you have these outrageous overtime because guys know, sadly, well, if I work today and I get held over tomorrow, I got a problem with all my kids going to school. So all of this gets added into this. I have personal experience. That reason, I will not be supporting this.
Any questions or comments from anyone that has had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Massimo.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, what I think there is a direct correlation between the overtime costs and the sick time cost. I think there's a direct correlation to that. And the example that Councilman Foley just mentioned, I think, is the result of someone calling in sick and someone having to work another shift. Typically, that's what happens. When someone calls out sick, someone else has got to fill in. And we know based upon the numbers in these documents, that the majority of the departments, as you heard us say tonight, have had a reduction in sick time. But yet, in the fire department, it has gone up significantly. Another thing I want to reflect back on Monday evening, I asked the deputy chief about the sick time. And he said that sick time is also a result of long-term illness, non-work-related, etc. The separate line items in the budget for that. The question I asked about was sick leave. There's a separate line item then for long-term illness. So based upon my experiences over the years, I know for certain that there is a direct correlation between sick time, people who are calling out sick, and overtime in order to get the job done. This is why we've heard the conversation numerous times over the years that, you can, bring in more staff, and you bring in more staff, that's going to reduce the overtime. You have the hospital argument as well that sometimes, sometimes you are better off paying overtime than bring in a new hire. The new hire isn't needed on a full time, year round basis. That's not the case here. I think we have a situation that needs to be reviewed with regards to those two issues, overtime and sick time, because I feel that they're leading. So, as I said before, I will be supporting this thing.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the debt project? Okay, hearing on Monday, Mayor. Hearing on the quick roll call, favorable action is to take $553,991.35 to the rate. Favorable action is to support the debt article. Quick roll call. No.
Mr.
Foley? No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Powell?
No.
Mr. Lanza?
Yes. No.
Mr. Briggs?
Yes.
Mrs. Stanley?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
Yes. 6-2.
The amendment fails. I'd like to make a motion that we take a 10-minute break. Will you make that motion? Motion to take a 10-minute break. Second by Councilor Foley, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are in recess.